disappearing so I can appear. There. Well, good morning. Well, it's been a morning already, hasn't it? Wow. Thank you, Barnaby, my colleague, and the worship committee for inviting me this morning. I feel that the same butterflies of anticipation that I felt every Sunday morning for my entire ministry. What will we create as we worship together? This morning is thick with love and spirit already. It is a joy for me this Sunday because it landed on my father's birthday, for those who remember Charlie. He would be as glad as I am for this congregation to be fulfilling your vision. 9 years ago, when I retired from parish ministry, I had a vision, a personal vision, of my next step and sense of direction. My life was mapped out. I didn't need a GPS. But I have a brother-in-law, Dick, who's smart and very funny, and he immediately installed a GPS in his car, and he gets a kick out of hopping on it and taking shortcuts around town just to hear the GPS voice saying, with a sense of urgency, recalculating, recalculating. And that's what seems to be the theme of this stage of my life, recalculating. As you may have experienced yourself, the GPS can get you to a place you seek, or it can take you off course occasionally. You have to enter your location, and you have to enter a destination. And when I retired from the ministry, I chose 4 destinations to become a director of religious education or a chaplain. Well, the GPS took me to Montpelier, it was one of the destinations, to work at a center for healthy aging and lifelong learning, and then to Istanbul to be the nanny for my new grandchild. And then back to Middlebury to work at a residential retirement community, right back where I began. Middlebury was not one of the destinations, but here I am. On this journey, I had to cultivate resilience and flexibility. I can now say this with some experience. There is no GPS that can navigate us through retirement. We have to do it ourselves. You can head in the wrong direction if you don't have the right questions. Emerging from active ministry, I was asking myself big questions. What gives my life meaning? How do I live a meaningful life? Now, I was still focused on living a purpose-driven life. It's not easy to let that go. And I wasn't getting anywhere. It was like entering the wrong location or destination in the GPS. I think that society views retirement as a portal to aging. I see it on a continuum of aging. We are all on the continuum of being born to dying, but for me now, retiring and aging are converging. When I was writing the sermon, I found myself shifting between the two. I wanted to say, just choose, just land somewhere. But they're more connected for me now than they would have been 9 years ago. In creating the theory of psychosocial development of human beings, Erik Erikson defined the tasks of the 8 stages of birth, from birth to death. From age 40 to 65, we make our mark on the world through creating positive changes that will benefit other people, that will outlast us. And then we arrive at the stage that begins at approximately age 65, where we are guided to contemplate our accomplishments and hopefully come to the conclusion that we led a successful life, what Emerson described as leaving the world a bit better. We need to stay healthy in mind and body, connect with others, and engage with our community, said Erickson. But he said little about what that changing role in the community might be. 80-year-olds are the wise ones on aging. What Mary Oliver had to say is not softened with humor. You know Mary. She's fierce, was fierce. There is something you can tell people over and over, she wrote, and with feeling and eloquence, and still never say it well enough for it to be more than news from abroad. People have no readiness for it, no empathy. It is the news of personal aging, of climbing and knowing it to some unrepeatable pitch and coming forth on the other side, which is pleasant still, but which is unarguably different, which is the beginning of descent. Well, Parker Palmer takes an aging a little more lightly in his 80s. Next time you think I'm over the hill, say to yourself, nah, I'm just standing farther down the curve of the earth. One thing about aging is discovering that gravity is real. When you hang out with older people, you hear lots of humor about gravity. In fact, you hear lots of humor. We have no shared collective articulation for what later life is for, what the value of living long is, except not dying. But we are left in many ways to find ourselves again. So I'm asking a different set of questions. Who am I in relation to myself? And who am I in relation to others? And where do I belong? These may not always be my questions. They are my questions for now. Erickson assigns a central task to those of us entering the eighth stage, to walk through the vanishing geography of our past. I think that's so beautiful. The vanishing geography of our past, through our memories, and to find meaning and value there. Each of us is shaped by our own era. So the first question is, who am I in relation to myself? And I need to juxtapose this with my mother. So when she was 23 years old, she saw her husband off to World War II and moved home with their baby, my sister. My sister was 3 years old when her father returned. At the same age, I was protesting the war in Vietnam at UVM when the Kent State students were mowed down. I came of age when American cities were in flames from the murderous years that ended the lives of Medgar Evers, John Kennedy, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King Jr., and Robert Kennedy. Times have been bad before today. Times have been bad. I emerged an activist. On March 1st, 1973, the Vermont legislature ratified the Equal Rights Amendment. I was in the House chamber for the hearings. It was thrilling. In 1986, Vermonters narrowly defeated an equal rights amendment to the state constitution. This year, changing the constitution has come up again. Change is a long haul. I am still an activist at heart, but with less time ahead, I want to focus on what really matters to me, the next generations, my daughters and my granddaughters, the air they breathe, the water they drink, a sustainable environment. It matters to me that they and all women have equal rights. Who am I in relation to others? I find the richness and joy in life, the depth and meaning in human connection. I have always experienced joy in relationship with people. Work has always been a way to serve as well as to meet my social and economic needs. Volunteering in the community has brought deep satisfaction and lasting friendships. Now, primarily, I am a grandmother. It is the most honorific title I have ever held. Grandparents are the keepers of the connective tissues between generations. Children need their grandparents, as I was blessed with my grandmother. But while my grandmother lived up the hill from my home, my grandchildren live across an ocean, and my children as well. If technology is for anything, says James Williams, it is for helping us to achieve our goals, to be companion systems for our lives. It is technology that connects me to my weekly play dates with my granddaughter in Istanbul and watching the new baby yawn and stretch and coo and snooze in my daughter's lap on Skype and video calls with my daughter in Hong Kong and with my scattered friends. I am also, as a Unitarian Universalist, in covenantal relationship to others. When I worship in a Unitarian Universalist congregation, I hope to experience a glimpse to carry with me into my daily life what William Stafford describes as breathing respect, what I call radical hospitality. I witness the resistance and persistence growing with the generations behind me. It fortifies me at a time in my life when I feel less empowered, looking around at our shared world, its suffering, and its promise. I see the courage with which so many serve the urgent needs of healing and justice. I have trust and confidence in the next generations that you can succeed. You can succeed in making the world a bit better. Where do I belong? The Unitarian Universalist Retired Ministers and Partners Association is doing something generous for people farther down the curve. We are invited to join a cluster of retired ministers. I am in a group of 9 people spread from Oregon to Arizona, Minnesota, Florida, Pennsylvania, New Hampshire, and Maine. And for 3 years, we have been meeting monthly on Zoom by video conference call. We share with each other how we renew and regenerate ourselves, what or who affirms our spirit, what provides us with hope.